Hello and welcome to our service for Sunday the 9th of August. It's wonderful we can be together through the Holy Spirit even though we're not able to be together in person. Let me start with our greeting. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Again from Revelation. Great and marvellous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. The same today as it has been for thousands of years, our God reigns. Would you please join me in our thanksgiving? Gracious God, we humbly thank you for life and health and safety and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our sentence of scripture for today. They cried out in fear, but Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." That's from Matthew 14, verse 26 to 27. What a great word for us today. This is our God who loves us. Let me read it again. They cried out in fear, but Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." You might like to just close your eyes for a moment while I lead us in the prayer of the day. Mighty God and ruler of all creation, give new strength to our faith that we may recognise your presence even when all hope seems lost. Help us to face all trials with sincerity as we walk with Christ through the stormy seas of life and come at the last to your eternal peace. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. If you're accessing this on the internet, the prayer of the day along with the readings is all available on the website as well. Let me pray before we hear from God's word and some wonderful scriptures for us today. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for making yourself known to us and showing the way of salvation through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word. May your Holy Spirit lead us into your truth so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first reading today is following on with Jacob in our Genesis passage, and it's Genesis 37, 1 to 4, and then 12 to 28. If you think your situation is bad, have a listen to this. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report to them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children because he was the son of his old age. And he had made him a long robe with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that his father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. We go down to verse 12. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flocks near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I'm seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where are they pasturing the flock?" The man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go down to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what comes of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hands and restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves that he wore. And they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty, there was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with the camels carrying gum, balm, resin on the way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it for if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When some of the Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm for today is Psalm 105, verses 1 to 6. "I give thanks to the Lord and call upon his name. Tell among the peoples what things he has done. Sing to him, O sing praises, and tell of all his marvellous works. Exalt in his holy name, and let those that seek the Lord be joyful in heart. Seek the Lord and his strength. O seek his face continually. Call to mind what wonders he has done, his marvellous acts and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, O child of Jacob, his chosen one." And our New Testament reading today is from Romans 10, verses 4 to 15. "For Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does the things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith does not say in your heart, 'Who has ascended into heaven?' that is to bring Christ down, or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near to you on your lips and in your heart.' That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scriptures say, 'No one who believes in him will be put to shame.' For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on the one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our gospel reading for today is one I've been looking forward to help us through this time, to help me through this time. So our gospel reading is Matthew 14, verses 22 to 36. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking towards them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." When they crossed over, they came to the land of Gerasene, and the people of that place recognized him. They sent word throughout the region and brought all who were sick to him and begged him that he might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's some great passages for us to reflect on, meditate on, and have the Holy Spirit speak into our lives. Just before I start commenting, starting from Genesis, I do just want to read that passage out of our Romans 10:9. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What a great reassurance. You don't have to have kept all the Ten Commandments or the 516 other laws around that. We need to believe in Jesus and his sufficiency for us. God is with us now as much as ever. So we start with our Genesis passage. And we start with a complicated, messy family. And this is the family of the promise, the children of Jacob, God's chosen family. Joseph was the favourite, perhaps a very well-known story, fancy coloured coat. Now, he was also honest. He gave a bad report, and that made him not popular. Now, people have speculated on all sorts of things about whether he used his favour, that's why he was hated, or whether he should have pulled his head in. You know, we can give all sorts of good advice, but we've just got what the passage tells us. And it doesn't say anything about evil intent on his part. He got these dreams from God, and he felt it was imperative that he share them with people. So he shared them with his father. His father had trouble accepting them. He shared them with the rest of his family. They had trouble accepting them. But he didn't do anything wrong. We can all speculate, but I don't think that's helpful. Let's just stick with the text. In verse 4, his brothers hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Well, that was their choice. Now, his father's favouritism of him didn't help. But if we go back to some previous passages, a previous sermon, you know, Jacob wanted to marry Rachel and he got Leah. And then there was all the two concubines or servants, and then Rachel. Well, Joseph is the oldest son of Rachel, the only one he wanted to marry. So it's very messy. And our lives may well be very messy, even before coronavirus. But God still loves us. This is still God's chosen family. So his family, they threw him into a pit. But Judah, the oldest, Judah, who is the fourth, suggested that they sell him as a slave, because Reuben, the oldest, had stepped in and stopped them killing him. As we know, the story goes on. Joseph suffered slavery, unjust imprisonment, and separation from his family. And all of this really at the hand of his own family. His father Jacob suffered thinking his son was dead through the lies he had been told. All the brothers suffered fractured relationships, deception. They knew their actions had broken their father's heart. And much later, they suffered fear of their brother in Egypt. That's actually next week's reading. Now, how do our worries compare to Joseph's? Well, they're still bad, but God helped Joseph just like he can help us too. Now, Joseph still had many things to encounter, and they didn't diminish. And we have many things ahead of us, and they may not diminish, but our God is still with us, and our God still cares for us. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, when he had addressed those who were about to kill him, he said, this is from Acts 7, 9 to 10, "The patriarchs, becoming envious, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of his troubles and gave him favour and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." The problems and its consequences came from within the family of God. But Stephen reminds us that God was with him and delivered him out of all his troubles. Stephen was stoned to death, but God was with him. He didn't save him from death, but welcomed him into God's presence beyond death. And that's the great reassurance we have, whatever happens. Let's turn to Matthew. This is one I've been waiting for, really. Jesus had fed the 5,000 after trying to have a quiet afternoon. Didn't work out. Fed the 5,000, had taught and healed. Got the disciples to go into the boat to go across to the other side of the lake. And then he dismissed the crowds. He went up, in verse 23, he went up into the hills to be alone to pray. Now, if Jesus needs to be alone to pray, so do we. And that's something we've got to work on, something for us to guard, something for us to hold on as a precious gift, our relationship with God. After prayer, Jesus goes to catch up with the disciples walking on water. And it's a bit as though this is just a natural thing to do. It's just go and catch up with the guys. The disciples, though, are terrified, and Jesus says, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And that's really, I think, Jesus' words for us in our situation. You know, we see all these things and are terrified and upset, and we have all sorts of other emotions going on with us at different times at the moment. But Jesus says, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And this is the gift that we have, God's care for us. The ever brave or quick to act Peter asks to come and also walk on the water. And he does, as Jesus at Jesus' invitation, Peter walks on water. Don't overlook this part of the miracle. It's both Peter and Jesus were walking on water. But then, just imagine, if you will, what might be going through Peter's mind. Peter might reflect on the events. While my eyes were on Jesus, I was okay. You know, it was great. You know, I was walking on water. But as soon as I looked down, as soon as I looked away and focused on my own concerns or all that was going on around me, that's when the trouble came. That's when the sinking began. I reached out to him and he grabbed me. He spoke those words I had heard time and time again. Fear not, I am with you. It's easy to believe when things are going smoothly. It's not easy when huge waves are crashing around your ears. It was then that it all became crystal clear to me. He wanted me to trust him, to have faith in him, to focus on Jesus and what he is doing. Not to focus on the waves, the darkness, the impossible, but to step out in faith and to follow Jesus' call. That's just some of my imaginings about how Peter might have reflected on it. You stop and ponder, what might it be like? Jesus says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" A rebuke to Peter, but perhaps a quiet rebuke to encourage greater faith. Even a little faith was enough to walk on water. This God who asks us to put our faith in him settled the storm as he stepped into the boat. The disciples worshipped. Truly, you are the Son of God. Even today, God breaks into the ordinary routine of our lives and miracles occur, many of them small. We often need to refocus on God, to take God's hand and be led by God. Jesus needed time alone in prayer to the Father. We need time alone in prayer to our Heavenly Father too. Let me go back to that verse from Romans we started with. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. God is with us. And from verse 13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So like Joseph, we do ourselves harm and get in a mess, whether it's our actions or actions of those around us. And like Peter, we need to refocus back on God and stop sinking. In the storms of your life, keep the focus on Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join with me in the affirmation of faith. We believe in one God who made and loves all that is. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was born, lived, died and rose again, and is coming to call all to account. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who calls, equips and sends out God's people and brings all things to their true end. This is our faith, the faith of the Church. We believe in one God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now to our time of confession of sin, which is a little bit like Peter, if you like, as he's sinking and he calls out for God's help. Lord, save me. Well, we need saving too, don't we? Let us now confess our sins to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love. But if we have broken your holy laws and have left undone what we ought to have done, we are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us and change us. By your Holy Spirit enable us to live for you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God desires that none should perish, but that all should turn to Christ and live. In response to his call, we acknowledge our sins. God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Therefore, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, let us join together in prayer. There's so much going on in our world, but also in our lives, in our hearts and minds. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for the world that you love. We pray for all those who are suffering under many different circumstances. We pray for the people of Lebanon and Beirut with the explosion there. We pray that they might find your peace and comfort and provisions for their daily life. We pray too for our police and other emergency workers and think today particularly of the young police officer who was assaulted during the week. We pray for the nurses and medical staff that you would keep them safe, keep their families safe. We pray for those places around the world where COVID-19 has really taken hold and many are sick and many are dying. We pray that you would be with them, be with their leaders and guide them. We pray too for our leaders who serve the common good. We give thanks for Scott Morrison and his leadership. We pray for Daniel Andrews as he's under much pressure, but as he tries to lead our state through this crisis, as he does lead us. We pray for help for him in the things that have gone wrong, for the criticism he receives. We pray for good, strong people around him to support him. And we pray for your wisdom and comfort for him. We pray too for others who provide accountability and a different voice, but we ask that they might, in your grace, work together for the common good. We pray that all people may think of the welfare of others and our common situation more than their own wants and needs. We pray for those who have this objection to wearing masks or other requirements at this time, that you might work deep in their hearts. We pray for your church. We give thanks for Bishop Matt and his leadership of us. We pray for all those in the registry who serve us as a diocese. We pray for all clergy as we're back into remote learning, services, as some had opened up but now have to close. And we pray for all congregations that we would know your peace and comfort. We would know the unity of your Holy Spirit with each of us. Even as we're physically separated, we are still together by your Spirit. May you hold us close. May we reach out to you. May we continue our personal Bible reading, our personal prayers, our personal confessions. May we make these times of worship corporately a real priority in the weeks and months ahead. May you be active in our lives. May you help us to be praying for ourselves, for one another and for others we know, to grow closer to you at this time. We pray too for our families and friends. We remember that your love and ability to care for them is so much greater than ours, and so we commit them into your care. We ask that you would speak into their hearts and minds when their future plans are in turmoil and there's pain from the past, that you might bring healing and wholeness to them. Teach them surely but gently of your everlasting love. May you help us to be your witnesses to them in a gentle and kind way. We pray for those in need and those who are sick. We pray for all those in pain and all those who are afraid, all those who are struggling. Be with them and all who care for them, and may your Holy Spirit surround them with your love. Inspire them with your strength and give them comfort and peace. We thank you for the way you held Joseph. We thank you for the way you helped Stephen. We thank you for the way you reached out to Peter. So in their pain, we ask that you might give them relief. In their tiredness, we ask that you might supply them with rest. If it be an addiction, we pray that you would give them freedom. And if it be in your will, restore them to health and fill their lives with your joy. Heavenly Father, stir our faith that when we are weighed down by doubts and fear, we may know deep in our heart the truth of your love. We thank you for this account of Peter sinking, reaching out to you, and we pray that we too would reach out to you and you would take our hand through these difficult times. All this we pray in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. And I invite you to join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Loving God, we thank you for hearing our prayer, feeding us with your word, and encouraging us in our worship today. Take us and use us to love and serve you and all people, in the power of your Spirit, and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Living God, you sent the Holy Spirit to breathe life into your church. Let us no longer be captives to fear or frustration, but instead be messengers of your saving love, so that all may be reconciled in you through Jesus Christ, our peace. May the God of peace equip you with everything good for doing his will, working in you what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.